Hello, friends, and welcome to day number 61 of Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve. It's so good to have you back with us today. Whether you are a return guest or a first-time guest, it is because of you that we are gathering together to form this holy habit of reading God's Scripture each and every day. That's our plan, and it's our hope that we all will encourage one another to make it to the end of the year with this reading plan. Now, if you're in need of the reading plan, you can click that link that's in the show notes and you can view it, print it, store it, whatever you want to do. But you'll see for today, March the 25th, that you are to read Judges 9 through 11, Psalm 61, and Proverb 30. Today, by way of this podcast, we'll be discussing Judges chapter 9, which is the final component to the Gideon unit in the book of Judges, which spans from chapter 6 through Chapter 9. Well, friends, if you are enjoying this Bible in Year reading plan, I ask you to consider clicking like and subscribe on your listening platform, as it does help others find this program in their search results when they're looking for a Bible in Year reading plan. Thank you for your consideration in doing that kindness. Before we get into our discussion today, let us take a moment to still our hearts and our minds so that we might prepare for this discussion with one another of God's Word. Let's pray. Gracious and eternal God, what a privilege it is to have another opportunity to find you in your Word. Help us to now quiet our minds and our souls so that we might be receptive to the truths you are trying to convey in your holy inspired Word. We pray that these truths will wash over us and take root in us, so that we might bear fruit for you and your kingdom, and that we might glorify you in and through our lives this day and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Judges chapter 9, we see the last component to the Gideon unit. Now, you might be asking yourselves, well, Gideon died in chapter 8, so does that make Abimelech the new judge? And the answer to that is no. This is a continuation of Gideon's story, because as we saw, yes, he did a great job in rescuing Israel from the Midianites, but towards the end there, he did something silly, and that was to build or fabricate this golden ephod, which quickly allowed the people to turn back into their idolatrous ways. So this is a continuation of that spiral. And his son, Abimelech means my father is king. That should give you some insight as to what is going on here. Whether Gideon gave him this nickname or not, we do not know. But we do see that Abimelech tries to usher in the office of king somewhat prematurely, because we know that that happens later on with King Saul and then King David and so on. But here, this person, this son of Gideon, is now kind of serving like a false judge. And what happens is he kind of convinces others that, you know, should we have more cooks in the kitchen, so to speak, or should we just have one person kind of leading this whole effort for Israel and providing protection and so on, and kind of convinces people to give him some money so that he can go about this campaign of being their leader, or maybe even considering him a king. Gideon had 70 sons, so Abimelech wanted to rid them of the opportunity to serve as leaders in their father's stead. So he takes that money and he hires what's called reckless scoundrels in one translation that I'm looking at here. But really, when you dig into the Hebrew, we see that these people are considered insolent. They're considered empty individuals. It gives you the image of a pot of boiling water, and those bubbles that look mighty and numerous, they quickly fade away. They pop, right? There's nothing in them to provide any integrity. This is the picture we're getting with these hired hands. It also points to the fact that Abimelech himself was kind of an empty individual. If you remember back in Gideon's time, when he wanted to kill off Zeba and Zalmunna, he wanted his son, Jotham, to do the work, this dirty deed of killing them for him. But Zeba and Zalmunna said, "No, you do it yourself. As is the man, so is his strength." So if Abimelech is not willing to kill off his own brothers, that kind of points to the fact that his strength is not so much after all. But anyway, the deed is done. It says that these brothers were all killed on the same stone by these reckless, these empty individuals, these scoundrels, and that the blood cried out. It's because of this reckless deed, this tragedy, that God took notice. And it says in verse 23 that God stirred up animosity between Abimelech and the citizens of Shechem, the people that he wanted to rule over, which is family, by the way. It's kind of a degradation in the family dynamics, as we'll continue to see throughout the book of Judges. But God notices that. This should conjure up some images of the first fratricide, the first murder between brother and brother, that is Cain and Abel, in the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve were dispossessed of the Garden of Eden. So we're seeing that not much has changed since then. We still have that bent toward sin that could even lead to such tragedies of killing one's own family. So as the story continued in Judges chapter 9, there's some of this infighting. A new bad dude rose up and put pressure on Abimelech. But ultimately, at the end, Abimelech meets his own demise. He becomes accountable for his own actions because God has let him go off and do whatever he was going to do, because he chose not to follow God's will. God didn't want any of this. He was doing whatever was seen as good for him in this transactional economy, what would reap him the most benefit. So in the end, it happened that a woman dropped an upper millstone. This is from verse 53. And this millstone cracked his skull. He knew it was a mortal wound, so he invited an armor bearer to take his sword and run him through to kill him, so that people wouldn't say a woman killed him. Again, this is tying in some of the other scenes that we've seen in the past, especially the scene where Yael takes a tent peg and runs it through Sisera's head, taking down the enemy. So God has brought this on Abimelech. He has allowed this to happen to Abimelech because of his disobedience and his own idolatrous ways. Now, while we may not be like Abimelech, and remember, the purpose of Judges is not to model good behavior, so to speak, that we see from people, and to avoid bad behavior that we see from some of the other judges, we are reminded that there is an idolatrous propensity within each and every one of us, and that we truly need to yield ourselves to God through the work of Jesus Christ, who is the actual King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's only through Jesus that we can be broken free from this idolatrous and destructive cycle that's modeled out here in the book of Judges. So friends, I hope that you will continue to lean into the fact that Jesus offers you forgiveness of sins and power over sin itself as we yield ourselves fully to his lordship. The good news is Jesus stands ready, extending this gift towards you. It's for you to take it. It's up to you to take it and accept it. And when you do that, Jesus' presence through the power of the Holy Spirit will reside in your heart. And the Holy Spirit will guide you, strengthen you, comfort you, convict you of the wrong things you might be doing, so that you might be conformed to the image of Christ more and more each day, so that we might live life that is truly life, have a thriving and good and joyful life. Well, it is my prayer that you would accept that gift in faith, so that we might all be able to usher in the kingdom that Jesus has in mind. And it is my prayer that you would accept that gift in faith, or recommit to it each and every day, so that we might glorify God in all ways. Well, friends, I hope to see you back tomorrow, right here on this podcast channel. Until then, I hope you have a very blessed day.